General Meeting, Des Moines, May 1983. Children's Meeting.
Children who'd like to come up. Lots of seats in the front row. Okay, how about one from the girl? Okay. 40. Number 40. Very well known song. Number 40. Let's sing the first and the third and the fifth verses of number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know. Children only will sing the chorus, all right? Children only sing the chorus in verse number 3. Jesus loves me, though I am, and He waits to make me well. Waits to hold me in His arms. Keeps me safe from fifth verse.
Jesus loves me, He will say, oh.
Who does Jesus love? Who does Jesus love in our song? What's the chorus say? Me. How many me's are there in this room? How many me's are there in this room? Sure, I see a few hands. Any more hands? How many me's are there in this room? Do I see any more hands? Look, everybody is a me. Jesus loves me. And we could put our own individual name right there. Jesus loves Mr. Kenny. Who's that? That's me. Jesus loves me. That's what this track says, right? He loves you. Now, I'd like to go around and I'd like to ask each one of you, what about you? Does Jesus really love you? And do you know that? And do you know him as your Savior? All of you children, it's one thing about talking to the children at a conference. Practically all of you children go to Sunday schools, don't you? How many of you children go to Sunday schools back where you live? How many? How many go to Sunday schools back where you live? I don't think there's anyone here in the front row that doesn't go to a Sunday school. And you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk to children at a hobby class or something like that, sometimes they don't know anything about the Lord Jesus. But you children, as far back as you can remember, isn't this right? As far back as you can remember, you have heard about the Lord Jesus. But is he your Savior? We know Jesus loves me. And can each one of you point to yourself and say, Jesus loves me? That's the important thing. Okay, we had a boy and we had a girl. How about another boy who has a song they'd like to sing? Okay. I am so glad. Do we have that one in here? No, there's one on the very back page. You came in late. Is there one on the very back page that you'd like to sing? Anyone there? Don't know any. Okay, how about number 46? Glad Tiny. Okay, you know that. Number 46, we'll sing that, okay? Glad T-I-D-I. What tidings mean. Okay, who knows what B-R-I-N-G means? Bring. He's bringing good news to children. That J-E-S-U-S. Jesus has come to S-A-V-E. Save me. And he calls all the G-I-R-L-S. That spell boys? No, it spells girls. And he wants all the B-O-Y-S-S. Poise two, right? To trust. How do you spell trust? T-R-U-S-T. Yes, that's just even the youngest one can spell the simple little words that are in this wonderful gospel and Sunday school song. Okay, that was, who gave that one out? That one was given out here. Okay, so now we have a girl. Who, what other girl would like to have one? Come on, girls. What other girls would like to have one? Okay. Number 47. Okay, that's another good one. Number 47. When he cometh,
when he cometh, who will he know his cure? All his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the star of the morning, his bright crown.
Inside the book. So let's look at number 11. Number 11. Just turn one page, one, number 11. And we all know this one too. And let's sing the first and the last verse of number 11. Because I'd like to talk a little bit about the word safe. And see how many of you can find the word safe in one of the verses that we will sing here. Okay? Number 11.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of love? Thank you.
saved? How many found it? Everybody found it? What verse was it in that we sang? The last verse. That's right. Would you like to read it? Would you like to read it? You wouldn't like to read it. Okay. Can I read it? It says, will you anchor safe by the heavenly shore? So after we pray, I'd like to talk a little bit about safe and about safety. Okay, now let's close our eyes and we can ask God's blessing. We thank Thee, our loving God and Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee, blessed Lord Jesus, that Thou dost love each one of these children. And many of us in this room can indeed say, Jesus loves me. And we just pray for each one of these children who have heard Thy word so many times, who have memorized Bible verses, who can tell the Bible stories, oh, that each one of them right now might be able to say that they know Thee, blessed Lord Jesus, as their Savior. Oh, we thank Thee that we have the opportunity here to tell these children of Thy wondrous love. And we thank Thee, blessed Lord Jesus, for that love that came to where we were. Oh, how much we have to be thankful for. As we now commend ourselves unto Thee, seeking help and guidance for this little time, as we give thanks in Thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about safe or about safety. What's the opposite of safety? What is the exact opposite of safety? I don't know everybody. I could pick out the Addison people, but they wouldn't like me if I kept doing that. So I'm going to have to point my finger a little bit at people that I don't know. Okay? What's the exact opposite? Means entirely different than safety. Danger, that's the exact answer I was looking for. Danger. Danger. Now the company that I work for stresses, or they really make a point of telling us to be careful as we're working. And they have a whole big book of safe ways of doing things. They have a whole big manual of things that you can and things that you cannot do. And for every job or everything that we do, there are descriptions on how we're supposed to do those so that there is no danger. Well, sometimes we have to work with things that are dangerous. How many of you have seen the sign, hard hat area? Hard hat area. You ever seen a sign that says that? Or hard hats must be worn here. What do you think that means? What is a hard hat? A hat that's hard, that's right. A hat that's hard. It's like a helmet. And maybe we'll even see a helmet or a hard hat here this morning. But it's these sorts of things that's to protect your head. Things might be dropping. Anybody that's building a building, these big buildings that are being built in Des Moines or Chicago, the men that, women that go up in these buildings have to have hard hats on because something might drop and fall a long way, and if it would hit you on the head, it would kill you. But a hard hat might protect you. Okay, so there are various safety things that we are supposed to do. Now, I have some safety things in this bag here, and perhaps we can take a look at them. There are four things in this bag which we can look at, but I've got some safety things on me right now. And perhaps some of the ones who have either lived in Addison or do live in Addison know maybe what safety things I almost always wear. Does anybody know what safety things I almost always wear?
Remember some of you that tried to tramp on my toe? Remember Danny? Okay, Danny, you're a pretty big boy. Why don't you come up here? Come on. You're a pretty big boy. Now, you can tramp on my toe as hard as you want. Just make sure you only hit the toe, okay? Tramp as hard as you want. I don't even feel that at all. Now, can I do that to you? Okay. I always wear safety shoes. And underneath the leather on my shoes, there's a steel tip in my shoe. Now, why would I want to wear safety shoes? It's not because Danny's always tramping on my toe. It's not because the children in Addison are always tramping on my toe. It's because that where I work, we have to wear safety shoes, and they supply the safety shoes. So that's the reason that I always wear them. Now, what does a steel tip in my shoe, what's it going to do for me? Why is that important? Why is that important? It protects my toes. I could be picking up something, and it might slip out of my hand and fall, and it could weigh a lot, and it could hit right on my toes, and it could break my toes. I think many of us know of a man right now who probably would be at this conference. He would probably be at this conference, except he now has a broken foot. And he's at home because he dropped something on his foot and it broke his foot. So, why is it important to protect the feet? What do we do with our feet? What do we do with our feet? We skip with them, right? We walk. Okay, it's important to know what we do with our feet. And sometimes we walk, sometimes we run. Davy says sometimes we skip. We do lots of things with our feet. But it's important to know where your feet are taking you. It's very important to know where your feet are taking you. Because we know in the Bible it says, broad is the way that leads to where? Destruction. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And to go along that way, each one of us in this room, not only just the children, but the older folks too, are going someplace. They're walking someplace. Which way are they on? Are they on the way that leads to destruction? Or are they on the way that leads to life? I'm asking each one of you children this question. You had a nice answer, able to come up with the answer to my question. But are each one of you children on the way that leads to life? And you know, even though some of us are on that way, sometimes we need protection, don't we? We need protection for our feet. Because we can often get one way or another way, and we can get into a few problems. And it reminds me of a story of a dog named Lassie. What kind of a dog do you think that would be, named Lassie? Oh, it was a collie. It was a collie. And Lassie lived on a farm. And Lassie had a whole big woods to run in. And in this woods, there were a lot of paths. And in these paths, Lassie could run and sniff and just have a wonderful time. Well, one day, Lassie didn't come back. Lassie didn't come back home. One day went past, 2 days went past, and Lassie didn't come back home. And they looked and they looked, and finally they decided, we're going to have to search the woods. Let's search the woods and see if we can find Lassie. And they looked and they looked, and finally, they found Lassie. Lassie had gotten off the path and had gotten her foot caught in a trap, in a trapper's trap, and she was trapped there for 2 days. Would she have been able to get out of that trap by herself, do you think? No. She would not have been able to get out of that way. If she had not been found, she would have died right there. She got off of the path, and she was trapped. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have to be careful that we stay on the path. Let's not go to the one side or to the other side. And for those of you children who, if I'd ask you right now, do you know the Lord as your Savior? And you say, I don't know if I do or not. I don't know if I do or not. Oh, we pray that right now you might say, I want to be on that way. I want to have my feet take me on that way that goes right on to life. It's important. Okay. I think that's all the safety equipment that I now have on. And let's see what else we have in here. We do things with our feet, don't we? And we also do things with our hands. And sometimes in my work, I have to wear nice little gloves like this. Now, what do you think these gloves are going to protect against? What do you think they're going to protect against? Getting my hands burnt. That's exactly right. Sometimes I work with things that are very hot, and I have to keep my hands from getting burnt. Now, what do we use hands for? What do we use hands for? Drying, sure. Picking up things. Doing work. You used the word that I wanted. Doing. Okay. What do we use our hands for? Okay. He was gonna say that too. Eating. Okay. We do things with our hands. We do things with our hands. And it's so nice when you children can be of help doing things for your mother or your father or your sisters or your brothers, because our hands can either be doing good things or they can be doing things that aren't so good. And I'm not going to ask you, none of you said anything that you do with your hands that might be bad. But I'm sure you all know of things that you can do with your hands that aren't very nice at all. And I'm sure you can all think of them. Now, we talked about the word do. You can do things with your feet. You can do things with your hands. What do you have to do to be saved? What do you have to do to be saved? Okay, does that involve, she said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Does that involve anything with the hands or with the feet? Nothing at all. So with your hands or your feet, there's nothing that you do to be saved. Everything has already been done. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. And he did for you if you only believe in him. If you only accept him as your Savior, then he has said, it's already been done. There's nothing that you have to do. All the work, I took all the punishment. It was all put on me there on the cross. And I'm sure you children can answer that just as well as I. But, do you really know it? Have you really accepted him as your Savior? Oh, that's an important question. Really think about it. Really think about it. Have you really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? We do things with our feet. We do things with our hands. Sometimes our hands can get us into trouble, but we're happy to say that our hands can do so much good. They can do so many wonderful things. To be of help to our families and to our parents and to those in Sunday school and those in meeting. So use your hands for good. And sometimes, though, we need the protection. Sometimes we need the protection. And isn't it wonderful that our hands sometimes can pick up this wonderful book? This wonderful book. And those of you who can read, can open this book. Just think of the wonderful things that your hands can do with this book, the Bible. And what else then do you need? You're able to pick up the Bible. Then what do you have to be able to do? Read it. Read it. And what do you use? What do you use to read the Bible? Your eyes. And sometimes eyes need protection, don't they? And I have a pair of what we call safety glasses. They're glasses that are unbreakable, and they've got protection on either side. And you put them on, and there are sometimes that things that I do where I have to wear the safety glasses. I'm not allowed to do that job unless I have the safety glasses on. And that's important. And the eyes really don't do anything. They won't take you across the room. They won't pick up this announcement of the Sunday school, of the meetings. The eyes really don't do things like we think about it. But the eyes are very important because they guide us, don't they? In order for me to pick up this card, I can look at this card, I see it, and my hand moves right down and can pick up this card. So eyes are just so wonderful to have. And we know that there are people who don't have eyes, or who have eyes do not work properly. And these people get along pretty good. But isn't it wonderful to have two eyes that we can use to guide our feet and to guide our hands? And with those eyes, again, those of you who can read, or those of you who are just learning to read, how wonderful it is to have your hands not only open this Bible, but as much as possible to have your eyes reading God's Word, the Word of God which is in this Bible, which we should be reading every day. And isn't it wonderful to have the eyes to see and the eyes to guide us? And the eyes, it says in God's Word, look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the look of faith, and we don't make the look of faith with our eyes, but we can use it as an example. Looking at the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Now, last night in the gospel meeting, we had some examples, or we had before us feet that weren't doing what they were supposed to be, and hands that weren't doing what they were supposed to be, and eyes that weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And our brother Bob said, it would be better, and God's Word says, if they were cut off or if they were plucked out. But there are some parts of our body which we try to protect that we can't do without. We've seen people, or we've heard of people, that don't have any feet or have any legs or have any hands or arms or have any eyes. And although they're handicapped, they can get along. But there are some things that we have to protect, we have to keep safe, that we just can't get along without. Now, here's an apron, and I'm sure for you girls, it's not an apron that you would find in your kitchen. It's an apron that sometimes in the work that I do, I have to wear this apron. And this apron is made of some material that will resist, will not burn, will not be burned by chemicals, or will not be burned by heat or by fire. And this protects the whole front of me, doesn't it? This protects the whole front of me. In the Bible, we read of the armor. We read of the breastplate. The breastplate, that which protects this part of the body. Now, why is it important to protect this part of the body? What's in this part of the body that's really pretty important? The heart. The heart. Maybe you children have heard in the last year of a man in the hospital out in Salt Lake City who got a new heart. Was it the kind of heart that we think of, which is about maybe this big, made of muscle and just nicely beats along? Was it that type of a heart? What do you think? No, it really wasn't. The heart that that man got was a big piece of equipment. We just can't make a heart as nice and as efficient and as good as God can. But this man out in Salt Lake City, his old heart just wore out. And they had to replace his old heart with a new one. And they put this new heart in, and they had to have part of it sitting beside his bed because it all wouldn't fit inside of his body. And this heart worked pretty good for a while, but the man eventually died. You know, I can look at your hands, I can look at your feet, I'd be able to see if your fingernails were clean. I can see lots about you, but I can't see your heart. I can't see that, but there's someone who can. There's someone right now who can look right down at every boy in this room, at every girl in this room, and they can look right on inside of you and they can say, what is in that heart? What do they see? What do they see in that heart? Do they see a heart that, according to the Bible, is deceitful? Only does those things which are bad? Is that what they're seeing? Or are they looking down, or is this one looking down, and is he seeing a new heart? Because God's Word says that he gives us a new heart. A new heart. Now, that doesn't mean that he comes in and he puts a new heart inside of us. What that means is that he comes in and he cleanses us, and he gives us a new person inside of us, and this new person cannot do anything that's wrong. This new person lives actually inside of us, just like a new heart would. And oh, isn't it wonderful to have this? But if you don't have this inside of you, if you're not saved, then the one who's looking down, and that's God, the one who's looking down is seeing that old sinful heart in each one of you. Oh, we pray that each one of you might have that new heart. Okay, and there's another thing that I can't see, and another thing that we often protect, and I already mentioned it at the start of our meeting, and that's our head. That's our head. And frequently, in fact, you probably see this piece of safety equipment more than any other piece, and that's something that goes right on top of the head. It goes right on top of the head, and it protects the head. Now, somebody could come up and they could hit me on the head with a hammer, or they could drop something on my head, and it wouldn't hurt me because my head is protected. And what do we use the head? Why is it so important to protect the head? Why is it so important? That's right, so you won't be dead. What's inside of the head that's so important? What's that, man? That's right, the brain. That brain that's in the head. If it wasn't for the brain, our hands wouldn't work right, our feet wouldn't work right, our heart wouldn't work right. All of the functions, all of the things that our body does are controlled right here in the head. So it's extremely important that when we're working that we protect the head. And oh, the head is so important too. Because that mind, that brain of ours, can do so many things, so many wonderful things. We talk about computers. Your daddy or your mommy will often talk, or maybe even talk about computers. Well, the most wonderful computer around can't compare to the brain, to the mind that God has given us. But what do we use our brain? What do we use our mind for? We can think about lots and lots of things. I'm talking at a moderate rate, perhaps even a slow rate, perhaps 100 words or 150 words a minute. This is all the faster I'm talking. Yet your mind, your brain is working maybe almost 10 times that fast, working close to 1,000 words a minute. What are you doing with your mind while I'm talking? What are you doing with your mind as you're reading God's Word? Are you thinking about it? Are you thinking about it, or are you only reading God's Word? What did you think about last night in that wonderful gospel meeting that we had here? Did you think, oh, he's not talking to me. He's talking to the people that have come in from the outside. Oh, he was talking to you if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. And I can't look at your mind either the same way that I can't look at your heart, but God can. And we're at the close of the Sunday school now, and I would really like to go to each one of you children in private, and I would like to say, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes or no? The simple answer, yes or no. In God's Word, in the Bible, in Matthew, we read the question that asks, what think? What do you use to think? What do you use to think? The brain. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question that I have for you this morning at the close of the Sunday school. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? You don't have to shake your head yes. You don't have to shake your head no. But I want you to answer the question in your head and in your heart. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? We're going to pray now. And I want you, as your eyes are closed, to really think about that question. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ?